Hello, Ebenezer. This is Pastor Free, Pastor Freeman, also known as Pastor Free, coming to you from EBC3 at the 10-10-10. Good to have another opportunity to have Bible study with you today. I want to let you know we're going to be studying 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 through verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, 7 through 16 for our lesson today. But before I get to that, let me begin by mentioning a couple of things. First, I know that, as I mentioned to you in the robocall, that the governor has reopened the state. Businesses and restaurants and even churches are allowed to be open now. I know that many are asking, when will we come back together as a congregation? I want you to know that I want that to happen just as much as you, but I want us also to be safe. And so I don't think right now is the time to do that. Even though we can come to the church, we still have to maintain 6 feet of distance between persons in the sanctuary, and how we would organize that might be chaotic. And of course, most of our members are in that at-risk population, and so they are encouraged to stay home and continue to shelter in place. We want to be safe, and we want to be sure that this reopening doesn't exacerbate or make worse the situation with the coronavirus. So I think we should wait and see what happens in the next couple of weeks, and then think about what we want to do as we consider transitioning back to worshiping in person. So for now, we're going to continue things as they are. So continue to pray about that. Listen to the worship on Sundays and the Bible study on Wednesdays. Second, since Sunday is Mother's Day, we want to honor mothers in our congregation and our families. So we were thinking of putting together a collage of pictures of mothers. So if you could send in pictures of your mom, your grandmother, your godmother, your wife, so that we can, or yourself, so that we can put together a collage. You can email the pictures to ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net, to the church office, to the secretary. And if you could do it as soon as possible, that would be great, so that we could put together a collage in time for a display on Sunday. So thanks for doing that. Let's get to our lesson. And if I were to give this lesson a title, it would probably be A Mother's Gamble. We're looking at this widow who is a mother in honor of Mother's Day this coming Sunday. Let me read the passage in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 through 16 from the New International Version. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, the widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, Zarephath is a Phoenician town located between Sidon and Tyre on the Mediterranean coast. The city was the center of Baal worship, and Zarephath is the homeland of Ahab's wicked wife, Jezebel. You remember Jezebel. So it's interesting that God directs Elijah to go visit the widow of Zarephath. It's interesting because this widow is not an Israelite. She has no experience with Israel's faith or Israel's God. This widow is probably a worshiper of Baal. And it's also interesting that God sends Elijah to this Phoenician town because Elisha is the one who has pronounced the drought that is being experienced at the time. But it just says that God's work comes through unexpected sources and persons. You'll also notice that Elijah doesn't question God's tactics. And God says, I want you to go to Baal territory for sustenance. You have caused the rain to stop, causing a famine, causing a drought. And this drought is the result of God's displeasure with the worshipers of Baal. And yet God sends Elijah into Baal territory for sustenance. Isn't that something? You get orders to go right into the place where you have caused problems for the people. But Elijah doesn't question God's orders. He obeys God and goes on to Zarephath, as God tells him. So obedience is important when we get directives from God. Sometimes we don't understand what God is doing, what God is planning, but I think it's important to obey God and to trust with God for the outcome. Now, there is a famine because of the drought, and this famine has reached Zarephath. Everyone is impacted by the famine. Not only are the Israelites impacted, but the other nations, the other peoples of the region are also impacted by the famine. It's sort of like this coronavirus. It has hit all places and all socioeconomic levels. It's been an equalizer of sorts, because it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter how much or how little you have, this coronavirus does not discriminate. And so that's the same thing that's happening in Zarephath. This drought has impacted not only Israelites, but also the people of Zarephath. And so Elijah gets to town, and it just so happens that this widow is at the town gate, and she is gathering sticks for a meal. And Elijah makes an interesting request. He says, can you give me a drink of water? And apparently that doesn't rattle the woman. So she says, she goes to get it. But as she goes, he says, oh, and by the way, and bring me a piece of bread too. And then the woman turns to Elijah and says something that I think is sort of interesting. She speaks about Elijah's God. She says, you know, as the Lord, as your Lord, your God, as surely as the Lord, your God lives, I don't have any bread. She says, she only has enough provisions to prepare a meal for herself and for her son. She says, I only have a handful of flour and a little olive oil. So I was wondering, how did she know about Elijah's God? Well, you know, there are a lot of people who are non-worshippers but have heard about God. And I'm sure that she in the region has heard about this prophet of Israel who's pronounced this judgment of God against the worshippers of Baal and called for a drought in the region. And so she probably knows that this is the prophet of God. And this woman says, I only have a little flour, I only have a little oil left, and I'm about to go and prepare what might be the last meal for myself and my son. This woman is in dire straits. So God sends Elijah to a woman in Zarephath who is not only a foreigner, but is on her last leg. She is poor, she is without resources, and she has just come to terms with the fact that she most likely will die, and her son will also die. And I think it's powerful that Elijah speaks to her about her fear. Because when she says that she only has a little bit left for a meal, Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. He gets right at the heart of the matter with this woman. And he says, don't be afraid. In fact, go prepare the meal that you were planning to prepare. Bring me something first, and then make something for yourself and for your son. And now that might seem like a bold request, the nerve of him to even suggest that to this woman who is in this condition. But he buttresses his request with a promise from God. He says that according to God, the flour will not run out and the oil will not run out. Everything that you have will last until the famine is over or until the rain falls. So that's a powerful promise that he makes. He's saying, in effect, I represent the God of Israel. And effectively, the God of Israel has sent me here not only to take care of me, but also to take care of you and your family. And he has promised to make sure that you have enough to survive until the rain falls again. What I like about this is, yeah, as I said earlier, it's Elijah who has called for this drought at the behest of God. And God sends Elijah right into Baal territory to get sustenance. So it says to me, God is God, even in the midst of a pagan stronghold, that God can do God's work, God can bless, God can answer prayer, God can provide, even in places where God seemingly is not wanted and is not welcomed by the people. And so Elijah presents the request to the widow and then gives her the promise of God. Then the widow has a decision to make. Does she take care of her son? Does she trust what Elijah proclaims? It's a gamble. But it's not just a gamble for the woman. It's a gamble for her son, a gamble for her family. So it's a mother's gamble. This is a mother who has to decide whether she's just going to believe this man who's come walking to her down the street, or she's going to do what she thinks is best and make sure that at least this day she and her son have something to eat. And that just reminded me, beloved, that mothers face a lot of choices that impact their children. That's why we celebrate moms. We celebrate mothers. We celebrate Mother's Day, because mothers do so much for their families and for their children. I mean, their decisions are always based upon what's in the best interest of their families, what's in the best interest of their children. Mothers make decisions about health and health care. They make decisions about food, what we're going to eat, what's going to be healthy for the children to eat. They make decisions about safety. How can I protect my children in the home? How can I protect them in the yard? How can I protect them when they're out of the house? Mothers make decisions about education. Many mothers are having to do homeschooling because of this coronavirus and having to think about how they can keep their children on track with their studies. Mothers make decisions about shelter. Where are we going to live? How are we going to be safe where we're living? And during this pandemic, mothers have to provide meals for their children. So mothers brave the coronavirus by leaving out of the house, going to the grocery store, making sure they're getting groceries and cleaning and sanitizing everything before they bring it into the house at risk to themselves. But they do it because they want to make sure that their children have what they need and that their children are safe. Mothers make a lot of complicated decisions for their children. And even I think about pregnant mothers at this time, you know, it has to be very, very difficult for women who are pregnant. They have to go to the doctor for a prenatal care, for prenatal visits. They have to think about, you know, the risk of giving birth in the hospital now and exposing their baby to this coronavirus. They have to think about the risk of exposing themselves to this coronavirus. So mothers face a lot of choices that impact their children. And this widow in Zarephath is no different. She has a critical choice to make. And what I like about her is she gambles for her life and the life of her son. Somehow she trusts Elijah. And I guess maybe she says to herself, well, I can eat today and die tomorrow. Or as the man of God promises, I can eat today and eat tomorrow. Because even if God doesn't come through with the promise, she's still no better off than she was before Elijah showed up. So I guess she says, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm just going to trust, because the option is the possibility of being able to eat and to survive. The possibility is for my son to be able to eat and survive. So she makes a calculated gamble for her life and for the life of her son. Now, earlier in the text, God tells Elijah that he has prepared a widow to feed him and to take care of him. And we don't know how God prepared the widow for this situation. We don't know whether God prepared this widow by putting her to the point where she was at her last meal, so she might be more apt to respond to Elijah's request. We don't know if God spoke in her spirit and softened her heart so that she could be in a better position to respond. But somehow this widow takes the gamble and trusts Elijah, and she brings him something to eat, and then she fixes something for herself and for her son, and the meal doesn't run out, and the oil doesn't run out. God provides just as Elijah promises. That's a blessing, beloved, because the mother gets the blessing that she never expected. And look at God. Here is a woman near the town gate. It could have been another woman at the town gate, but here's this woman, this widow, this mother near the town gate on the brink of death, who trusts God enough, and because she trusts Elijah and trusts the God of Elijah, God provides just as Elijah promises. This is a lesson, beloved, about the God who truly provides. You see, there's been this sort of competition, well, it's not really a competition, but this sort of tension between the worshipers of Baal and the worshipers of the God of Israel. And this story teaches which God truly provides. God, the God of Israel, is the one who provides. Baal is powerless to provide food and water, but God is the ultimate provider. I see some other points in this story. This is a lesson about a mother's desperation. Can't you sense how desperate she is when she says to Elijah, I don't have anything left but enough to make the final meal for myself and for my son. There are many mothers in desperate situations. That's why we have to do our best during this time to reach out to people, to be kind to people, to share our resources with others. And this is also a lesson about a mother's sacrifices, because this mother, if she was willing to give Elijah something to eat before she fed her own child. Wow. He says, you go and get me something first. You demonstrate your faith, demonstrate your willingness to respond to what God says by fixing me something first. Wow. A mother will sacrifice. Sometimes a mother will go without eating, and so that a child can have something to eat. This is about a mother's sacrifice, but it's also a lesson about a mother's good decisions. Thank God for mothers, because mothers are not selfish. Good mothers make good decisions. And when they're thinking about what needs to be done, what they have to pull together, you better believe they're thinking about it in a way that's going to turn out well, that's going to be a good decision. This mother made a good decision, and her good decision allowed her to feed her son for several days and allowed God to provide for her life. This story is also a lesson about God's blessings. God's blessings can come through whomever God chooses. This woman is a widow. She lives in Zarephath. She's a Phoenician. She's probably a worshiper of Baal. And you might say, well, she's not a part of the family of Israel. She's not attached to the God of Israel. So, but beloved, God can bless whomever God chooses to bless. Not only can God bless, God can also use whomever God chooses to use. And so we cannot limit God. God is everywhere at the same time. God knows every language. God knows every culture. God knows every group of people on the face of the earth. And so that God speaks to this widow, and that God uses this widow is instructive for us. God can use and bless whomever God chooses. So don't expect your blessings to come in a certain package. Don't try to circumscribe God's activity and tell God what to do. Be open for God to come through doors you never anticipated. Be open for God to come in ways you never expected. Another thing that I see is that, you know, sometimes non-believers are more trusting than believers. This woman, I wouldn't say she's necessarily a non-believer, but, you know, technically she fits the description of a non-believer. She's not worshiping the God of Israel. She just hears about this God. Perhaps she knows that Elijah's attached to some God. She probably senses that he's a prophet, but she's willing to trust what Elijah's God says. Isn't that something? She's willing to trust, and I guess when you're in trouble, when you're in a desperate situation, any God will do. You'll start praying, you'll start reaching out, trying to find an answer, trying to find help. But sometimes non-believers demonstrate faith and demonstrate trust that even those of us who have a relationship with God fail to do sometimes. And the most powerful part of this story, especially in light of Mother's Day, is that God is a protector. God is a protector and a benefactor of the poor, of widows, of orphans. Psalm 68 and verse 5 says, "Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." How powerful is that? And so this is a widow who's perhaps a worshiper of Baal, but God says, "I'm sending a blessing to this widow." This is a woman who is poor, who is not connected to the faith of Israel, but God says, I'm sending a blessing to her, a foreigner, a widow, a poor woman, a mother who's thinking that she and her child are about to die. What a blessing, Ebenezer, to know that we serve a God who takes care of widows and takes care of orphans. And so in light of this Mother's Day celebration, we thank God for providing for mothers. So many mothers have experienced heartache, hurt, pain, and distress rearing their children, caring for their children, and trying to provide for their children. Life is not always easy. Sometimes life brings sadness, sickness, and even sorrow. And were it not for the constant presence and power of God, many mothers would not have made it. And many children would not have survived were it not for the faith and the prayers of their sainted mothers. And thank God that God sees all mothers. He sees mothers who have given birth to children. He sees mothers who have not given birth to children. He sees grandmothers and godmothers, and as I say, all those other mothers who take the time to give of themselves, to give of their efforts to ensure that children and young people know that they are loved and know that they are cared for. Thank God for taking care of our mothers. And thank God for taking care of widows who are left to rear their children without the presence and support of their husband. We have widows in our congregation, and I'm sure that many of them can tell you that it wasn't easy for them to go on with life without their spouses. But God was there. God provided grace. God provided guidance. God provided strength. And God provided just what they needed in order to make it. And this widow is an example of a woman whom God blesses and takes care of. And I want you to know, Ebenezer, that God will bless you and that God will take care of you as well. You don't have to worry. God is with you. You can trust him. It's worth the risk when you place your trust in God. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. I hope that you enjoyed the Bible study today, and invite somebody else to share the Bible study as well. Let me offer a prayer for mothers. Eternal, we thank you so much for our mothers, for all that they do, for all that they provide. And as we enter this season of celebration for mothers, we pray that you will continue to bless the mothers in Ebenezer and mothers everywhere. We thank you for teaching us through this story that you are a protector and a benefactor, not only for widows and orphans, but also for mothers. And that sometimes when our backs are against the wall, when we are desperate, that's when you show up with your resources and your provisions. That's when you come through and answer our prayers. And we thank you for that. We continue to trust you to guide us and to be with us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and for all that you provide. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, beloved, before you close out this Bible study, I meant to mention earlier that I want to encourage you as you watch the worship on Sundays on YouTube that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And please encourage your family members and friends to subscribe. It doesn't do anything. They don't have to pay anything. It just gets us more viewers and the potential of reaching more people. So if you can, and then when they subscribe, whenever we're on YouTube, they'll get an email message that Ebenezer Third Baptist is on YouTube. So put the word out and encourage people to subscribe to our YouTube channel. God bless you, and I'll see you in worship on Sunday.